Well, thank you, Brother Dwayne. As always, it's just exciting. Great joy to get the opportunity to, you know, brag about Jesus. You know, anybody wants that, I guess. You know, just talk about him and brag about him, because that's what it's all really about. And so I know all of us are in prayer with Brother David and his family, and CJ. Like I was telling him earlier, many of us can relate to the feeling of losing a dad and a mom, because we've done it, you know. I know every circumstance is different and has its dynamics that are different. But the loss and the feeling of the dad no longer there and the mom, you know, you can relate, and we can relate, and we can pray and know that comfort will be there, and for Brother David and him and his family. So we are doing that, huh? Tonight I want to bring a message. As a children's church pastor, man, more years than I want to probably admit or whatever, but many years now, God gave me an opportunity to be the pastor to the children and the kids. This book in the Bible, probably, if I counted it and all this stuff, I bet more messages to the kids and you have been stuff have been used coming from this book and its sister book in there. It's the First and Second Kings of the Old Testament. There's so many interesting stories and dynamics in them, and two main characters is Elijah and Elisha throughout those two books. But I've just been so much down for years that I know I've God let me use. And when Brother Chris had mentioned about the opportunity tonight to be here, this lesson came to my mind, and last night through studying and looking at it, and this way the Lord works. I love this. It changed on me and somewhat to it. It's something that I'd never thought about before, looking and reading in it and stuff. And so I got excited. Last night, I got excited there looking at it. I really did, and I hope to be able to share that across the scene tonight, huh? But if you'd join me in 1 Kings chapter 17, 1 Kings chapter 17, and it's going to be highlighting some events in the life of Elijah. The prophet Elijah is going to be the one tonight in the use of. And as you're finding out, I like to give titles. We encourage the kids to remember the name of the lesson by its title. And hopefully the title is catchy enough or what about it that it makes the kids or whoever remember the lesson from God's word in it. And we encourage them to remember the title. If they can tell us the next week, they get to draw a mystery prize and such as that. But the title of this lesson is, Are You There Yet? Are You There Yet? That's it's in the form of the question, are you there yet? And I hope we can see the needed answer to that question tonight. So right before we read, it'll be 1 Kings chapter 17, and we'll begin in verse 1. But let's pray and ask the Lord to be the blessing of his word, okay? Dear Lord, I pray now that you just be with us now as we open up your word. Thank you for it. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the truths and just your love letter to us. And thank you how we can gain strength from it and hope, and even how we can see anew fresh things from it, that after many times we can read over it just hundreds of times, Father, or many a times, and then see something and that we didn't ever notice, that we didn't ever see, that we never had realized, and yet you open it up to us at that time. And I thank you for that. And I thank you how living the book is, and how it's not just an ancient book of ancient words, but it's a living book that it's ever in the right time. It's ever the right thing to go to your word and gain hope and strength. So Lord, be with us as we read it. Bring clarity to my mind, the thoughts that you once said. Do bless the campers tonight. Thank you for the safe arrival to camp, and be with our preacher that he gets on there safely, Lord, and just bless that week ahead for them. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you for everything in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Kings here, the beginning of verse 1, it says, And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, behold whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Now, let's stop just a minute there. Elijah is confronting this wicked king, King Ahab. He's confronting him with a message from God. And this King Ahab, he also has a very wicked wife, Jezebel, a very wicked lady, too, this king of Ahab and Jezebel. But he's confronting the king. tell him about that there would be no rain, there'd be no dew, there'd be nothing to, there'd be this great famine coming to the land. And he was delivering this message of judgment, doom to the area. And so God knew that Elijah's life would surely be in danger, or surely by these at this time. And so he tells him to go and to go to the brook Cherem. And he says, I've commanded you, the ravens, to feed thee there. And Elijah, it was a very specific there. He had to go to God's there. He couldn't choose. It couldn't be that he could, and this is what see people do and stuff. He could say, there's a different brook that's got more shade trees and something else that's a little bit better. I know this area. And over here, instead of going to Cherub, I could go over here and I could hide out and I could drink in the brook and I could do everything just almost like God said. But you see, that wasn't the there. I believe the ravens would not have brought the need and the care to any place else. But the specific there that God had mentioned, for Elijah. So he was finding his there. And if we read on here, it's the key thing was, it's kind of like Brother Dwayne talked about this morning as he was teaching us in the class. I was listening when he was teaching this morning. It says here that Elijah had to obey here what God was saying. See, look what it says. It says, so he went, verse 5, so he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherem, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank at the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. So he went to his there. And God commanded those ravens that brought him in food, and brought him in the bread and sustained him there at the brook. But now then, time has gone by here. And look what it tells us in verse 8. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise and get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there, gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And before we read on, we'll finish it here in just a sec. But this is what I saw last night. Something that I hadn't really thought about when I was reading this and talking to the kids and stuff. Elijah was obedient to go to the first place. He said, go to the cherub. He was obedient. He was in God's will. He went. God sustained him. Now then again, God is telling him, go to this next place. But what I thought about, it wasn't just important for Elijah to be in his there for himself, but it was equally as important for this widow. What if Elijah at this point was in a slided down in his heart? What if he was in a depressed state? Just what if he turns around and doesn't obey at this point? It all affects this little lady, this little son of Elijah being his sin. I got to think about that's true for me today and you today. If we're in God's will, if we seek to be in God's will, and we seek to be in God's center of his will, yes, God's going to bless us, and we're going to have that blessing, but not only us, but those around us. Those around us are going to be affected about us being in God's will. You see, it's not just important for me to be there for me. It's important for me to be in God's will for those I love, those that are around me. I never had thought about that. I always centered around the importance of being in God's will for me. But as I saw that, I said, man, this widow lady, her having to sustain, we'll read what happened to her. It depends on Elijah being in God's will at this point, And so we read on, and it says here, verse 11, and she was going to fetch it, and he called to her, and he said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, Go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord bringeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of the meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. So we see, by Elijah being there, by this widow lady saying, I want to be at my there, and those two theres kind of coming together, you know, the two theres meeting in together, we see God's care and God sustaining, you know, for these years. Mm-hmm. Which just as true today. That takes us here today. It's so important of us to be in God's will, in the center of God's will. Mm-hmm. You know, for some Christians, it may not be quite as mature in their heart, but definitely for a lost person, somebody that doesn't have the faith in the Bible, our missionary, our little missionary, Nisha Dean, she can be so excited about planning to get back to Ukraine, get back for the summer mission, get back in her heart to be bent on she's here and a visit in the state that we've seen her, and she's getting things ready, getting a passport ready, getting a plane ticket ready, she's heading to Ukraine. And we'll watch the news, and all we'll see then is Russia's putting all their tanks. All the boys are getting all along Ukraine, you know, they're building up all the train to the path of here. And America is slipping in its defense obligations for other people. They're pulling back on some of the stuff like that. And we watch all the news and stuff, and we might say, man, is this really the right time to head back to Ukraine? You know? But you know, she's safer there. She really is. In the center of God's will, saying, I want to be in the center of God's will, in the middle of a war zone, maybe instead of Abner's death, and she'd be driving down the streets of Lubbock, Texas, you know, Clayton, Texas, or whatever. Because she'd be saying, I want to be in the center of God's will. I want to be at my there. And being in her there then affects so many around her. Being in my there then affects so many around me, you know. I thought about that too. I can say it grew a little bit. See, I should be done by now. The church met and stuff, and the way I usually go, I'm done, you know. But this is going a little bit longer here, you know. The Lord, I got to think about it. Down for the years, one of my favorite movies at Christmas time that I just love, my favorite that they show, re-show every year, the thing, is a movie called It's a Wonderful Life. It has James Stewart played a part of this guy, George Bailey, if you've seen it and watched it. But in that movie, he comes to a point in his life because of finance issues and false accusations and different stuff happens. He comes to a point where he just even wants to end it all. And he even says this, I wish I'd never been born. You know, that's what he said. The thought is it'd be better off if I just had never been born. Well, in that movie, that out for this angel, God grants that wish. You know, he grants that wish for him to get to see what things would have been like if he had just never been born. And man, there's such a difference that the movie shows that he had made that he never realized, you know. The town that he had grew up in, all of a sudden he's not there and it's turned in. Every corner has the bar and has the strip club and everything is this and the rackets are this. If they weren't there. As he had lived his life. People were saved and other things that weren't saved because he wasn't there. And many, many things that he never would realize that my life impacted so many, you know, around me. You know, I love a preacher. I love preachers. I love our preacher. I love, you know, I love Brother Chris so much and what he stands for. I love the preacher that got me started. Brother Ross Spencer is his name, and he meant so much in my life, directing me against starting Christian work. And I got to visit with him in his home. His health is failing him. He's just pretty much can't leave his home, and his wife's same. The both of them are just confined to there. And I visited with him about a week or two ago. Spent about 2 hours with him there in his home. Had the best little visit with him. But I got thinking about it. You know, through his heart, years ago, he started a lot of ladies that started bus ministry. ministry in Lubbock, Texas, in Lubbock, and through his ministry, through his heart leading at the height of the 70s and 80s, or at the height of the bus ministry going out and sending that stuff. At one time, the church was picking up an average of around 500 riders, you know, on that buses. They would have events on the anniversary service for the Civic Center, would be over 1,000, 1,500. We'd rent Joy Land and filled it up. But all those years, picking up all those kids, and that really affected things. As you think about it, Lubbock voted not too long ago. Lubbock said, "Hey, we're going to be a sanctuary city. You know, we're going to be a city for the right for the unborn." Some of that, and it passed. And I thought, you know, it couldn't pass nowhere else. Lubbock has its problems. Sure, the crime is growing. Everything's growing. I know it's growing up, but I just believe, Brother Spencer King, don't know how much of a fest. Just his heart, his ministry to pour out and just cover hundreds and thousands of people and kids across that are grown up now. They're not all in church. No, but they were affected. And their hearts and their lives and their wretched. And I believe that's kind of a little bit like George Bailey and like that town and like the changes and the events. It all fits in. Are you there yet? It's important, not just for you yourself, but for all those around you, to be that you're there. Well, is God there for you and for me? Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. Thank you for the truth of your word, and just so much for this fact of how you have a perfect will and a perfect place for each and every one of us. I thank you for that. And Lord, I pray that we'd just be obedient and be able mindful to the calling of your spirit to our heart, and to be in that place, in that will, and to ever be wanting to be used of you, Lord. And not for the rewards of it, Lord, but yet, Lord, we know it will affect so many around us. So help us to be very good stewards of that. Lord, again, we love you and thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with us tonight? We always like to have a moment of invitation, no matter what the circumstances are. Maybe God's spoken to your heart tonight. Maybe you're not in the center of God's will, or maybe you just want to stay in your seat there and reflect upon the message that has been given to us tonight while Martha and Linda play. May God work.